and can be excused at this time for Children's Church. Amen. Well, happy Resurrection Day. What a day that we have together to celebrate our risen Lord. Amen. What a day. I see some friends in the room this morning, and I am overjoyed that they are here. I'm overjoyed that you are here. I could hardly wait for today. I just about came last night and just spent the night. I was ready for today. I told someone, I don't know if I have anticipated an Easter morning any more than I have anticipated this day. And it is wonderful. To have gone through what we have gone through in the past year, all of us, to not be able to gather on Easter last year was a heartbreaking experience for all of us. But to realize that today we can be together to celebrate our risen Lord, it almost gives a fresh meaning to resurrection. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, the Gospel of Matthew, I will be referring to the scripture a little bit later in the service, but you can go ahead and be turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27. Today we join with churches and fellow believers from all around the world and those throughout the centuries that have celebrated and are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was the love of God that caused Jesus to come to earth and to offer himself as a sacrifice on the cross so that he could forgive you and me of our sin. It is the love of God that keeps on offering to us new life through our risen Savior. So today we celebrate. We celebrate. And as Laura said a moment ago, to celebrate, it's okay to clap. It really is. It's okay to clap. And so we can celebrate. But not only is today Easter Sunday, but it's the beginning of a message series that we'll be doing over the next 4 weeks called Love Reigns. Together for 4 weeks, we're going to be discovering all the different ways of God, that God's amazing love transforms our past, our present, and our future. A lot of people underestimate the power of love. I would argue that it's the most powerful force on earth. There's a lot of men in this room that could testify and relate to the kind of things that love drove them to do in order to win their girlfriend or their wife. Love is the driving force behind our sacrificial actions toward our family and our friends. We'll gladly pay any price in order to demonstrate how much we care. Yes, I have a story. Friday afternoon, in the middle of everything that was happening, it's Good Friday. Traffic is going to be horrible. And Rachel says that we need to leave here at about 2:30 and travel to Pelham in order to look at some things for the house. Well, we did. Then she's coming up Highway 280. We got stuck in traffic, so I was meeting her at the summit. So I decided that I would just kind of go across the road over there to the Shell station and get me a Coke Zero. And then I pulled out and thought, okay, I'll jump in this lane real quick and I'll just kind of get over as fast as I can and be able to make the left turn right back into the summit. Well, wrong. Traffic swept me along until I was all the way at Grandview Medical Center before I was finally able to get over and at that traffic light make a U-turn and then fight all of that traffic all the way back up to the summit. And then it took us forever to work through 459 traffic, get off on 65 South, and get off the exit where the fuel storage tanks are. You know where that is, I'm sure. And make our way back across into the... I don't know how they ever found this place to even put it there. But we found it finally between the woman talking to me on the GPS and between the other one talking to me. I figured it out. Why do they make GPS voices female? I'm just wondering. Then we made our way back and we did pretty good and we just decided that we would leave Rachel's car sitting at the summit until after her music practice was over, and we got almost here and she remembered something that she had to have for practice was in her car at the summit. By then it's 5 o'clock. Any guesses? I dropped her off. I went back to the summit. I got what she needed out of the car. And then, as just a little extra, she had texted and said, hey, what about Chick-fil-A? So then I had to fight 280 traffic back across the interstate, back all the way down to Chick-fil-A. And by the time I got back here, I was worn out. I texted her somewhere in the process, not while I was driving, but while I was sitting at a traffic light, I must love you. I mean, goodness, the things we do for love. But we all do them, don't we? If we love someone, we go the extra mile. We do something extra for them. Love is powerful and it moves us. But before there was ever an Easter Sunday, there was a Good Friday. Before there was ever a resurrection, there first had to be a death. So in your outline on your worship folder, point number one, there can only be one king. There can only be one king. For 33 years, Jesus walked the earth while serving those who were hungry, healing the broken, delivering the oppressed, and he announced the coming of the kingdom of God and the restoration of all things. He claimed to be the Son of God. And many believed him to be the true King of Kings. This idea, this kind of thinking and teaching caused a lot of conflict in the area that Jesus served in. For at that time, Rome ruled the country of Israel, and Rome had installed a king to oversee everything whose name was Herod the Great. Well, he was constantly afraid of his authority would be undermined, and so another potential king would really be a threat to Herod, and so that other king had to be eradicated. And both Herod and Jesus just could not reign over Israel at the same time in Herod's mind. So the Jewish leaders and the Roman centurions worked together to get rid of Jesus. He was brought to trial for his claims to be God. He was convicted, beaten. Then he was forced to carry his cross that he knew would ultimately lead to his death. Matthew chapter 27, and would you stand please as we read God's word together. Matthew 27, beginning with verse number 32. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon who was from Cyrene. And the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. And after they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charges against him, and it read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself. Come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he cannot save himself." "So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him." May God's word be enriched in your life. You may be seated. The crucifixion of Jesus is marked by ridicule and disbelief. The soldiers were mocking Jesus. They put that sign over his head, not as a statement of fact, but as ridicule and mockery. Those who were passing by were trying to tell him to save himself. They didn't understand that the true test of Jesus' power and authority was not in his ability or lack of ability in saving himself from crucifixion. The ability to overcome the death that the crucifixion would result in would show his power. Sometimes we miss the proof of Jesus' lordship because we're expecting him to prove himself one way and he does something different. It always amazes me when people say, "Well, I expect God to do this, this, this." And while they're looking over here, he does something over here and they miss it completely. A lot of people have decided in their hearts that they will never trust Jesus unless he meets their expectations. Unless he heals their relatives. Unless he gives them this particular job, stops world hunger, or writes something in the sky, they'll never trust him and they'll never obey his authority in their lives. I heard the story one time of a young man who was a farmer, and he was out farming with the old days. He was behind a donkey and plowing. And all of a sudden, he looked up and saw in the sky that it had been written with an airplane, G.P. And he just left everything, ran into the house and said, "Mom, Dad, God's called me to preach." I said, "How do you know? What was the proof?" He said, "Well, I saw it in the sky." "What did you see?" "GP, go preach." I said, "Son, maybe that meant go plow." I seriously knew that this happened. It really did. I was on campus when it happened. There was a young guy who was wrestling with if God was calling him to something, and he was walking across campus, and another guy was not me, I promise, I was not involved in this prank, but another guy was up on a rooftop, and the guy on the rooftop could see this guy, but the guy on the ground couldn't see him. The guy up on the rooftop cupped his hands, called his name. The guy on the ground stopped and looked around, knew someone had called his name, so he was looking for him, trying to figure it out. And he didn't see anybody, and he walked on a little bit, and his name was called again. So he stopped and said, "Who's calling me?" The guy on the roof said, "It's the Lord." That was kind of mean, wasn't it? And so the guy said, "Yes, Lord, go to the mission field." Well, he was kind of startled and said, "Yes, Lord," and walked off. Well, the next day was chapel service, and he got up and testified the next day in chapel service that God had called him to the mission field. Here's the crazy thing. He went. I think much later he finally learned the true part of his calling. But if we expect God to do things a certain way, and when he doesn't, I'm afraid this kind of mentality is the same kind of struggle that plagued those who were at Jesus' death. It was the same mentality that drove Herod to be a part of the death of God's Son. We demand Jesus to prove himself on our terms, and we rob ourselves of seeing his work in our lives. Herod was not the last one to be threatened by the kingship of Jesus. He wasn't the only one to struggle with the idea of Jesus being in charge. The truth is, we still struggle with that today. In our lives, there can only be one king. Just one. It's been said that on the throne of our heart sits one who reigns in our lives. This chair represents the throne of our life. So here we are. Well, as long as we sit in the throne of our life, we're the one who calls the shot. We're the one who makes the decisions. We're the one always making the ruling. But we have to decide. At some point in time, we have to realize that as long as we're making the decisions, as long as we're the ones sitting on the throne of our life, we're not smart enough to make every decision. As long as I was the one making all of the decisions, guess what? I made a mess. I didn't do so well. But when I decided to get off the throne of my own life and allow Jesus that place, that didn't mean everything was easy. That didn't mean there was never any problems. But I tell you what it did mean, that through it all, God was there to walk with me. God was there to give me wisdom. God was there to give me His peace and His grace. Friends, if Jesus is truly dead, then none of this matters. But if He arose, that changes everything. Number two, love overcame death. 3 days after Jesus was crucified and laid in the tomb, to everyone's amazement, the body that had been placed there, wrapped and placed there, they went to see and it was gone. The wrap was there. What they had wrapped His body in was there. They had seen Him killed. They had watched it happen. They had seen Him die. And He was gone. He had overcome death. His resurrection is all the proof we need that Jesus is the true King over everything. There was a renowned artist named Paul Gustave Doré. He was traveling. This is back in the mid-1800s. He was traveling through Europe. And he came to a border crossing and he realized he had lost his passport. He explained his situation to the guard and gave his name to the official there. And he hoped that he would be recognized and put on through. The guard said, "Hold on, sir. There's a lot of people that get here and give us a name pretending to be someone that they're not. So we don't really know if you're who you say you are." He insisted that he was who he said. "All right," said the official. "We'll give you a test, and if you pass it, we'll allow you to go through." So he handed Doré a piece of paper and a pencil. And he told him, "Sketch some of these people that are in this room." Doré did it so quickly and skillfully that the guard was convinced he was indeed who he claimed to be. His work confirmed His word. Friends, the work that Jesus does confirms today that He is who He says He is. Though many doubted Him and mocked Him, death didn't have the last word and final say. Love did. A very familiar scripture to us all that we learned, most of us as children, John 3:16. Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that whosoever..." Well, I just got mixed up. I learned it one way. I was trying to read it another way and it messed me all up. Rachel, you lead it. Amen. God so loved the world. He loved you. Jesus was on the cross. He looked across time and He saw your face. Your face. Your face. And He did it for you. He did it for you, Dr. Joyner. He did it for you, Pastor Will. He did it for you, David. He did it for every single person in this room. Jesus went to the cross and died and was resurrected for you. And after Jesus had resurrected, his final words to his followers revealed to us the truth behind the Easter story. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Beginning with verse number 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So his final instruction for his followers was to go into the whole world and make disciples. So number three, let love reign in you. Today, if you consider yourself a Christian and a follower of Christ, this instruction has been given to you. You're a part of the making of disciples. The Greek word used in this passage is a form of the word mathetes, which means learner or student. We're to allow ourselves to learn more about Jesus day by day by day by day. And when we submit to the love of Jesus in our life, we are compelled to be who we say we are. The final reminder that we are given by Jesus before he ascends back into heaven is that he will be with us even to the end of time. He will be with us. Maybe today you feel like God's forgotten all about you. But I want to remind you, if you trust in him, he lives and dwells inside of you. But I'm convinced that in this room today, there's more than one kind of person, but two in particular that I want to address. There are some here who've never made the decision to let love reign in their lives and to follow Jesus. Maybe you've been waiting for Jesus to prove himself to you, and it's not happened yet. Maybe you don't want to give up control of your life. But today, I want to invite you to give your heart and life to Jesus. To do this is very simple. Would every head be bowed in this room and eyes closed, please? And let me lead you in a very simple prayer. Jesus, I confess that I've lived life my own way and under my own authority for far too long. I've sinned against others, and I've sinned against you. I'm sorry, and I'm asking for your forgiveness, God. I believe that Jesus died and rose again for me. I welcome your Holy Spirit to work in my life, and I will obey you above everything else. I want to join you in sharing the good news of resurrection. Thank you for promising to be with me for the rest of my days. Amen. Friends, if you prayed this prayer today with a sincere heart, you are a follower of Jesus. From this day forward, Jesus now sits on the throne of your heart. Let him stay there. Let him control your life. Let him walk through life with you. And if you prayed this prayer today, would you take one of these Connect cards? There's really not a place on there to mark it, but we're going to change that. Would you just write on the back of this, I prayed to find Jesus. And would you hand that to me after the service? I want to help you. I want to walk with you and encourage you as you walk with Jesus. You don't have to come to church here. That's not what it's about. It's about following Jesus. But there's also another kind of person I want to address today. You've trusted Jesus in the past, but you've grown tired. Maybe you've strayed for Him and you've begun to live for yourself. Easter reminds us that you can once again repent and obey. If this is you today, Jesus still loves you and He's still here for you. Would you go back and pray that prayer for yourself? And would you again commit your life to follow Jesus with everything you have? This Easter, may you see the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the proof of His love. And may you let that love reign in your life. May you join God in spreading this good news with the entire world. They need to hear it. Many of them for the very first time. I encountered someone yesterday at a gas station. I was standing in line and I struck up a little conversation and I said, Happy Easter. And he looked at me like, what? I've been hearing that. What is that? It's about Jesus coming alive after being killed, put to death on a cross. And he looked at me and said, who is Jesus? And he was an adult. So I chatted with him for a few moments. I invited him to come today. I don't see him in the room. But would you help me pray for him? That somehow a little seed that was planted will spark curiosity in his mind and he will find somewhere to come to Christ. The world needs to hear it. Friends, He is risen. Make your plans to join us over the next 3 Sundays as we continue our series of Love Reigns. It's rich. It's good. And once again, happy Resurrection Day. We celebrate, right? How do we celebrate? And friends, again, if you're a first-time guest with us today, there are welcome bags in the foyer. Please take one of those if you're a first-time guest with us. Offering boxes are in the back of this room and also on the table in the foyer. So as you exit, again, if you're a guest with us, we do not expect anything from you. You're our guest. We're not asking you for any contribution. This is for us, all right? But God bless you. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you today for your presence, your love, your grace. We thank you, God, for the work you've done among us on this day, the day that we've celebrated the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. God, what a gift you gave us that first Christmas. What a sacrifice you gave in allowing your son to be put to death. And what an incredible story to share the news of our risen Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you. Go with us as we go from this place. May our lives be surrounded and filled by your presence through the powerful Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us, and may everything that we say, may everything that we do, may everything that we are bring honor and glory to your name. We ask in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Would you please stand as we worship together?